Good evening, everybody. My name is Ian Spencer. I'm the Recreation Coordinator for the Village of Mayo, and I also serve as the President of the Recreation and Parks Association of Yukon. On behalf of the Government of the Yukon, the Sport and Recreation Branch, Sport Yukon, and ARPE, I'd just like to welcome everybody to our... we've got a two-segment night here tonight. The first is a series of awards, a ceremony that we have to recognize some of the leaders and people that have gone above and beyond in the recreation field in the territory. And the second, of course, is the panel that we have, Keeping Girls in the Game, which we're going to have three UConn reps, and our guest speaker is representing CAUSE, the Canadian Association for the Advancement of Women in Sport. I'd just like to give a big thank you to the Yukon government for their sponsorship and making the funds available to ARPE and the Sport and Recreation Branch that we are able to host this night. We really appreciate that. And we see we've got a couple members of our Legislative Assembly here. Thanks for joining us very much and for advocating on our behalf. We have three awards being presented this evening. The Government of Yukon Community Recreation Leadership Award, the ARPE Recognition Award, and we have certificates in Northern Recreation Leadership that we're presenting to people that have completed the program. The first, I'd like to invite the Honorable John Stryker to come up and present the award on behalf of the Yukon government for the Community Recreation Leadership.
Hi, everybody.
Hi,
Geraldine. Just to begin with, I'd like to acknowledge we're on the traditional territory of the Tongkatjin Council and the Kwamandan First Nation. I just want to say a few words, and then I get to present this award, and I'm excited. Can I just ask a question here? Does the person who's getting the award know that they're getting the award? Yeah, okay. So it's not really a surprise. Okay, great. And maybe others might not know. And I take it that also means that that person is here. Yes. Woohoo! Okay. So, I spoiler alert, like, that's who it is. And I get to say a few things. And before I begin, I just want to give a bit of a shout out. The award's called the Community Recreation Leadership Award. And I'm a huge fan, not so much of awards. And leadership is good, but the thing I'm really a fan about is community and recreation. Geraldine, my colleague who's here from the Legislative Assembly, she and I and Kate White gave a tribute today to the 55-plus teams, and it was a really fun tribute to give. And I just came from another event where they're getting together tonight and said a few words, and they were really touched by the tribute, Geraldine. And I just want to say from all of us, elected folks and unelected folks, that we recognize that recreation has such a big role in our territory and in our country and in creating healthy living and wellness and cohesiveness and shared experience and just so much. It's just so important. And I just right now, for all of you that work or engage in recreation, just let me start just by saying thank you so much to you. And I think if you're a Yukoner, you totally believe in communities. You can't not, but I will just take a moment to say that it means something to us. I love the term because it means so many things. It doesn't necessarily mean a place, but it can. And it's a sense of collecting, a sense of working together, a sense of building a vision for a future. It's a really nice thing. And so those two things go great together for me. And it's nice that we award leadership. I think that's terrific. So let me read this lovely set of words for Ms. Kara Wendt. Big congratulations to Kara. Kara has been contributing to FARO since she first moved there 6 years ago. She coordinates youth hockey and learns the skate program. She's volunteered her time and her baking to community events and provides fitness training to FARO residents of all ages. Because Kara's efforts Because of Kara's efforts, all the members of Barrow Youth Hockey were able to attend a Vancouver Canucks game in the spring of 2016. Yeah, right on. Her fundraising efforts made this trip free to the participants, making sure everybody could attend, so it was super inclusive. And this effort goes above and beyond what is expected of a volunteer, and I'm sure there are so many youth in Faro with positive memories of this. And Kara's work goes beyond hockey. Last year, Kara ran a parent and taught fitness class and started a fitness and healthy eating program in Ross River. She will also be leading fitness for seniors over the winter, and I've just come from a room full of them, but we'll be happy to hear that. Kara, I want to thank you for your hard work and for dedicating yourself to your community. Not only are you a recreation leader, but you're also a role model to the community, not just Farrell, but for all of us. And can we just please say thank you to Kara, and then I'm going to get her up here. Come on over here, Kara. Come on over here. I love that you have a cheering section. Do you like to say things over the microphone?
Thank you. Farrell's full of really special people.
Kara, this is, rather than a plaque, what the folks decided was to get you this hand-blown vase from the Mel Studios. And so I just would like to say congratulations, Kara. You want to say a couple words?
You're going to give the most fluffy person something so beautiful. No, recreation is phenomenal, even though I hated it for years. Yeah, new love. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
It's going to take one more minute, Ian. I just want to say just a couple more things before I get off the stage. First of all, is while I totally wanted to hear this panel, I have to go on to yet another event tonight, so my apologies to the panelists. Today, as it turns out, is also the International Day of the Girl Child. I don't quite get why those two words have to go together, but they do. And I think of our communities and how important it is that we be inclusive, whether that is gender or non-gender conforming folk, or whether that is age, or whether that is ability, whether that is anything. I just love the sense that we're trying to work to make our active lives as inclusive as possible, and I think that is a very strong thing for us as communities. So I just wanted to say thank you to you folks. I can't get up here except also give out a shout to Arpe and to Sport UConn. Yeah, so can you do your thing again for Arpe and Sport UConn? Ian, please say thank you to all of your board and all of the community folks. It is just, I just really think the work you're doing is so important for all of us. And I think Kara is probably an example of many people around the territory that are doing wonderful things, and I just want to say thank you.
The next award we have up is called the Arpe Recognition Award. This award is given to somebody who goes above and beyond to create opportunities and activities for youth, for adults, for elders in our community. And this year, the award goes to Erin Grigorash out of Old Crow, Yukon. And I'm just going to read her nomination sheet just so that you have an idea about what she's doing up there. Erin is an RCMP officer that has moved up there about a year ago. She's been actively involved in recreation programs and events, engaging youth and contributing to programs at school. She's taken the lead in our fitness class, running classes, and shared her skills as a coach and youth youth and adult volleyball games. She's been an excellent addition to the community, she's been a role model, and she's been a fantastic bridge between the RCMP and the community as a whole. Unfortunately, Erin was not able to come up. She had planning issues and was not able to make the connection between Old Crow and here, so accepting on behalf is Lindsay Johnson from Old Crow, and we'll just present the word to her so she can take it back to Erin. So, Lindsay can come up.
He's super, super bummed to come. I guess, I don't know, there's something wrong with the plane today, so it didn't make it to Old Crow until like 5 or something, and so it didn't make sense for her to come down. Okay. She says, "Thank you for this wonderful recognition. I'm sorry I could not be here to accept this award. Nominations from within my community mean the most to me. I truly love being active and getting involved in Old Crow. The people here make it easy and fun. Thank you, Lindsay, for accepting this award on my behalf and being a huge support system with Old Crow Rec. Musty choke." So, yeah. Great. Can I hold on this?
The next awards we have are some presentations for people that have completed a pilot project that's the first of its kind in the North and in Canada. Recreation North is a tri-territorial partnership that includes the Rec and Park Association of Yukon, Rec and Park Association of Nunavut, and the Northwest Territories Parks and Recreation Association. It was established to create some opportunities for communities that have similar issues and concerns regarding community leadership and recreation programming and the strength and the capacity of those people in those communities. In 2015, Recreation North submitted and won a prestigious prize called the Arctic Inspiration Prize, and the application was the pilot program that was intended to train and increase the skill set of recreation leaders in rural remote communities without having to give up their jobs or deal with the problems of distance ed. Distance and travel, some of the remote communities in Nunavut, places like Old Crow and some of the northern ocean communities in the NWT, using distance education practices and online training. As the largest annual prize in Canada with a specific focus on northern Canada, the Arctic Inspiration Prize encourages, enables, and celebrates the inspiring achievements of people of the North. Each year, up to $3 million are awarded to 3 different categories. One $1 million prize, up to 4 prizes of $500,000, and up to 7 youth prizes of $100,000. Since the inception of the Arctic Inspiration Prize, over $8.4 million has been awarded to 22 different diverse groups and individuals who all have their different vision about what they could do to enable and improve the capacity of Northern Canada. This includes several things like projects in education, preserving traditional knowledge and language, community inclusion in science, sustainable housing, and performing arts and health initiatives. For the first time, the Arctic Inspiration Prizes are going to be awarded in the North in the Yukon Arts Center on February 12, 2019. And as a recipient, on behalf of RPA, I just really like to encourage anybody who has an idea that would elevate and reach a lot of northern communities to look at the Arctic Inspiration Prize as a means to possibly find some funding to make their dream happen. By completing 10 or more learning events during the pilot project of the Recreation North training program, 5 of our Yukon Recreation community leaders have graduated and earned a certificate of Northern Recreation Leadership. They're the first 5 in the church who have been awarded this. And we have still some more people that are in the program, and we hope to graduate them over the course of the next year. And we look forward to seeing them up on the stage in the future. I'd like to just list for the members that we have that have earned a certificate. They're not here with us tonight, but we do have one that is, and we'll invite them up as the last person to come across the stage. The first is Rob McPhee from Hughes Junction. He's a heavy equipment operator and is now the supervisor of recreation and green spaces for the village of Hughes Junction. Rob found the training to be instrumental in his new role and would recommend the training program for anybody interested in a career in recreation. The second is Grace Bowers from Fairholm. She was working as the recreation programmer, and she participated in the pilot, and she found that the training fit easily into her schedule, enabling her to build her programming skills while still being able to do her job in the community. The third one is Adonica Clark. She works in volunteers in Dawson City. Adonica found the training topics to be diverse and relevant specifically to recreation in the North, and the pilot program helped her build connections and develop knowledge and skills to help her work as a recreation programmer. The fourth one is Florence Pilon. She's the youth recreation coordinator for the First Nation of the Shoshone and Nail. Although community life can make it difficult to participate in training, Florence appreciated the flexibility and the personal support that she got with a call or email. The training helped her better organize and offer events and activities for male youth. So if everyone would please join in, congratulations to these four. They may not be here, but we've got gift certificates that we're going to send to the respective communities. The fifth is here and present, so we've got a certificate for her that we'd like to present in person. Chelsea Hazard was born and raised in Teslin. She's employed as the community's recreation director. Chelsea appreciated the flexibility of online learning as well as being able to network with other Northern recreation leaders on a regular basis. The training helped her feel more confident in her role, so let's give a round of applause to Chelsea Hazard for her.
I wasn't expecting to speak. Okay. I thought all of you had heard enough from me earlier today. The program, it was really good. It was neat being in the pilot, I think. We all learned what worked and what didn't work. It was great to be in the pilot and then for more recreation people to be able to do this in the following year. It was super helpful and just connecting with so many other recreation professionals across the North was amazing. So, thank you.
We've completed the award side of things. Now I'd just like to invite somebody up to introduce our panel and our guest speaker. She is the Executive Director of Sport UConn, and she's one of UConn's biggest leaders, advocates, and role models for sport and for physical activity in the territory. So I'd just like to invite Tracy Bilski up.
Hi. So I'd like to introduce these four lovely women. I'm really excited about tonight, but we'd extend a warm welcome to our special guest, Jennifer Fenton, representing CAUSE. Now, Jennifer has been a consultant in the physical activity and health education field for 30 years. She has delivered and supported healthy school initiatives across BC and was instrumental in the unprecedented success of the Action Schools BC initiative and longevity of the Premier Sport Awards program. Jennifer is the past chair for ProMotion Plus, which is the BC organization for girls and women in physical activity and sport, and for the Orienteering Association of BC. She's the current chair of the Active North Shore Network, and Jennifer has been a CAUSE board member for the last 5 years, where she was instrumental in developing, delivering, and strategizing for CAUSE National On the Move initiative, getting inactive girls and young women active. She chaired the ProMotion Plus 20th Anniversary Her Story Committee and produced a keepsake of stories about women leaders and 20 years of making a difference. So you don't do a lot. You're not very busy. Jennifer has a BA in leisure studies from UVic and a master's from UBC, examining grade 4 girls' experiences in physical education in a low-income multicultural city. She integrates gender equity into her daily work in the education sector. Jennifer infuses a love of active living into their 2 children and has been involved in coaching cross-country skiing, volleyball, and field hockey. Welcome, Jennifer. As an elected official, staff member, consultant, and volunteer, Moira Lapson has worked within the Canadian and international sports systems for over 23 years. She continually promotes gender equity throughout and affects change wherever possible. From grassroots to high-performance sport, Moira intrinsically knows both the value of sport and physical activity and endeavors to enable others to realize the same. Welcome, Moira. Coach, athlete, and clinical exercise specialist, Melissa LaLuc, grew up in Whitehorse and returned to the Yukon 2 years ago, which we're all very happy about, after spending 12 years in Alberta in a variety of sport-related positions. Melissa shares her passion for health, sport, and overall well-being with clients and athletes of many ages. She believes that sport... Oh, see, I should have kept my glasses on. With the hope of helping people live gratifying lives. She believes that sport and physical activity help to shape people of all ages into happier, more confident individuals, and that everyone should know what confidence feels like. Eric. Yeah, I'm not going to risk it anymore. Just need to accept it. Okay. And born and raised in Whitehorse, Yukon, Bronwyn Pavlovsky began swimming at 6 years of age with the Whitehorse Glacier Bears. She competed internationally while representing Team Yukon, Team BC, and Team Canada, and later earned a scholarship to Indiana University, where she competed in the NCAA. After graduating from Indiana as an honorable All-American with a Bachelor of Science in Kinesiology, she concluded her swimming career at the 2016 Rio Olympic Trials. Bronwyn currently coaches for the Whitehorse Glacier Bears, which are lucky kids, and works for the Yukon government. Welcome, Bronwyn. The Sport Yukon is very pleased to partner with RPA on this important topic. We hope some fruitful discussion will ensue, and thank you all for coming.
So thank you so much, everyone, for coming tonight and all day today and last night as well. I met some of you, and I felt so included and welcomed from the second I arrived. I've been chauffeured around and fed well and had a very good sleep last night, too. So these things are all very important for us to be able to survive our very busy lives here. So, again, thank you, everyone, for your interest in tonight's session and making time to participate tonight. Thank you to RPA, your sport and recreation branch, and Sport Yukon, for putting women and girls on your agenda in a serious and committed and intentional way. In particular, I'd like to thank Mia Lee and Caroline Sparks for, as I said, driving me around, chauffeuring me, and embracing me with open arms. I also am very excited to have this, I call it my power panel of women, inspirational, sensational, wonderful women. We're going to hear from them tonight.
Go on, Jennifer. Go on.
I'm here excited to set up the panel as well as tomorrow's workshop. But I also want to be able to listen and to learn. And a shout out to Kara and Kelsey and Shelby. I learned so much from everyone already. There's a rich resource of people here already dedicated to work and help young women of the Yukon thrive. And this is very impressive, and I just wanted to say I've been inspired, and this is the right business for me to be in, and it's the right place to be here today. The other thing is, it is International Girls Day of the Child, and as well as International Women's Month, right? And, or History Month, yes. I was reading your paper here. And also Get Out of the Closet Day. And Intersex Awareness Day. And Persons Day. So, this is quite a day. Meant for us to all be here today. Okay, here we go. I feel like I'm a little far away from this. Okay, so let's take a look. This is what we're thinking for the agenda. I'm going to do a bit of a cause overview and some impact so we can see where we are making some movement and where we need your help. We're going to look at the girls' statistics. We're going to talk about the workshop goals. We have a workshop called Actively Engaging Girls and Young Women tomorrow. It's all centered around this resource that I'll talk again about. And each one of the participants is getting this resource as well. Then we're going to do the power panel, Moira, Melissa, and Bronwyn. And we'll have Q&As open up to the audience. And then I have a little section around we're talking about what is our role. We all have a role to do and a role to play. So we're going to talk a little bit about that as kind of a summary discussion. Then I'm going to share all the resources, workshop expertise that CAUSE has and our partners. And a little bit of a wrap up. So, who had heard of CAUSE before I came here today? Okay, good. Quite an informed crowd, I have to say. Anyways, maybe you don't know this, but we're the leading authority and national organization dedicated to creating an equitable and inclusive system, a sport and physical activity system, which empowers girls and women within and through sport. And it is a very tiny, small organization of about 1.8 people, and we're growing up to 4. So you'll see just how much we've done. But we obviously need you to help us get all of our great resources out there. And so today, on Happy International Girls Day, we've decided to launch a CAUSE video. So I'm going to play that for you to get us going. I tested this before you all got here. There. Hey.
Imagine.
Imagine a field.
Imagine a court.
An arena that builds girls' confidence.
A trap.
A pool that makes me feel like I can do anything.
Where girls and women belong.
A field that empowers girls.
To realize their full potential.
As equals in society.
But here is the situation. We're not doing enough to keep them active.
Too many girls are on the sidelines.
We need female role models.
Girls who play sports are more confident,
have higher academic achievements,
are more resilient,
are positioned for leadership,
are set up for success.
Diversity and inclusion
make us all stronger.
Everyone has a role to play.
To teach girls, physically us.
Challenge the status quo.
Take action to keep girls physically active.
Be a champion for change.
Visit cause.ca to get started.
Isn't that exciting? So, gender equity in the spotlight. It's exciting for those of us who are committed to, it's exciting times for those of us who are committed to achieving gender equity. The Prime Minister demonstrated great leadership in the creation of a cabinet that was 50% women. And now we're seeing the trickle-down effect relating to women and leadership in other sectors and in all aspects of Canadian life. Within sport, there are a number of exciting initiatives happening. For example, the coaching mentorship program, of which I've brought some manuals here. I think I decided I'd leave them at the workshop for tomorrow so we can take a look at them in a little more detail there. But it's a coaching mentorship model that works with the Canadian Coaching Association as well as the CAUS, and it's an exciting program that also has a mentorship component for the organization. We also have a federal, provincial, territory working group on women in sport, which is engaging experts and key decision makers across the country. And again, CAUS is involved in that. Promotion Plus is the BC organization for women in sport. And as a pilot test, we've actually done some gender gap workshops, which is similar to what we're going to be doing tomorrow. So it's a combination of what CAUS has been working on, but also what we pilot tested in BC to kind of lengthen and strengthen the workshops so that makes a lot of sense to the people who are attending them. And all of these are calls to action for the Canadian Sport and Physical Activity System to move forward with gender equity. So in terms of when you're thinking of equity versus equality, it's just what we like to do to make sure that everyone is clear where CAUS sits on this. Equality focuses on creating the same starting line for everyone, but equity has the goal of providing everyone with a full range of opportunities and benefits. The same finish line. Let me give you another example here. I'm reading from the book that you're going to get tomorrow, so you'll get some of this information in there as well to help you be able to share kind of the difference here. This is a CAUS infographic. It's one of their newer ones. Again, you can pull it right off the website. But what we're trying to do is create a sport and physical activity system, where all women and girls lead healthy lives and have opportunities to contribute in meaningful ways. It's necessary to embrace the importance of treating people equitably rather than equally. The concept of equality often results in programs and services for one group simply being made available to another. In contrast, equity requires consideration of unique needs, the interests and experience of a target group. We're developing and delivering services and allocating resources may be different. Therefore, some services may be the same while others completely different. The workshop tomorrow will provide more practical tips to help shift this focus from creating equal opportunities to determining how best to support women and girls so they have equitable opportunities and outcomes. And I think some of those success stories we saw today, which is how much detail, how much you needed to know the individual women or girls or kids you're working with before you can actually help them improve their lives and do the best in their lives going forward. So I thought we've had some really good sense of what equity means, as well as inclusion. As I mentioned, we only have about 1.5 staff in CAUS, but we're working to about 20 to have 4 women. So one of the biggest national sport organizations only has such few people, but we use you as to help us create the biggest impact possible. We impact more than 155,000 people. We partner with over 60 organizations from coast to coast to coast for systemic change. We equip 4,000 leaders with the knowledge and tools to champion change. Over 60 facilitators to lead training sessions across the country. Develop 22 resources, and we have 700 people on our LinkedIn. So hopefully I'll see some of your names on the LinkedIn coming in. And we also, just outside the door, I have this impact handout, and you're welcome to take it with you and share it with people. So let's take a look at where we are with our girls today. We've got some stats here we'll talk a little bit about. 13% of boys versus 6% of girls get at least 60 minutes of daily moderate to vigorous physical activity. Boys outperform girls on 13 of 18 basic movement skills. I think this is the one that is kind of heart-wrenching for me. Do you know which activity or which skill girls are better at than boys? I don't know this one. Oh, you might know. Oh, the thinking flexibility. Oh, no. Okay. Balance, yes, that we're equal. So doing the balance beam, forward and backward. But guess what? This one I'll show you. I remember with my daughter, I was like, can you just walk? They don't know how to walk. Like, we just, oh, you know, you're trying to hold her hand, and all she did was skip. So I was like, okay, this is interesting, right? And then the balance beam's only for girls. So, again, maybe there is something going on here with these stats, but the rest of them, it's abysmal. So can't be proud of that. And only 1 out of 10 high school girls enroll in optional physical education. And, again, we've got some great best practices I'm going to share with you. More during the workshop, but we have some women doing incredible research and having, they in those schools where they're doing girl-friendly PE, they have a wait list for the grade 11 and 12 PE. So we have some rock star resources out there. Everyone needs to just find out about it. Gender differences, whereby girls are up to 6 times more likely to drop out. Again, heart-wrenching for me. And then these stats here, you're quite familiar with. We go from 60% down to 22, almost down to 26%, and then down to 16 when they're adults. And, of course, girls and women from diverse ethno-cultural communities are the most underrepresented in our Canadian sports system. So it's not a proud moment. And the representation of women in recreation or sport commonly centers around femininity rather than highlighting their athletics. So what's going on? Let's watch this little TED talk. Hopefully it'll work.
Most girls are taught to avoid risk and failure. They're taught to smile pretty, play it safe, get all A's. Boys, on the other hand, are taught to play rough, swing high, crawl to the top of the monkey bars, and then just jump off head first. And by the time they're adults, and whether they're negotiating a raise or even asking someone out on a date, they're habituated to take risk after risk. They're rewarded for it. In the 1980s, psychologist Carol Dweck looked at how bright fifth graders handled an assignment that was too difficult for them. She found that bright girls were quick to give up. The higher the IQ, the more likely they were to give up. Bright boys, on the other hand, found the difficult material to be a challenge. They found it energizing. They were more likely to redouble their efforts. My son, Ladfrey, who's a professor at the University of Columbia and teaches Intro to Java, tells me about his office hours with computer science students. When the guys are struggling with an assignment, they'll come in and they'll say, "Professor, there's something wrong with my code." The girls will come in and say, "Professor, there's something wrong with me. What's going on?" Well, at the fifth grade level, girls routinely outperform boys in every subject, including math and science. So it's not a question of ability. The difference is in how boys and girls approach a challenge. And it doesn't just end in fifth grade. An HP report found that men will apply for a job if they meet only 60% of the qualifications. But women? Women will apply only if they meet 100% of the qualifications. Mm-hmm. In other words, we're raising our girls to be perfect, and we're raising our boys to be brave. The bravery deficit is why women are underrepresented in STEM, in C-suites, in boardrooms, in Congress, and pretty much everywhere you look. We have to socialize our girls to be comfortable with imperfection, and we've got to do it now. We have to teach them to be brave in school and early in their careers when it has the most potential to impact their lives and the lives of others. And we have to show them that they will be loved and accepted, not for being perfect, but for being courageous.
resonate with some people? No, I don't know why. We do these things with you.
So what are we going to do? Stop our girls dropping out of recreation and sports.
Some of our guys are as well. I have some stats that I'll show you later. But for the girls, we need to know what can we do to address and minimize some of these well-documented ones. For example, finances. We know the girls and women earn less. And it can be expensive. $25 for a yoga class, and you couldn't afford these things. And we can't always get free instructors. We need to think about what are we going to do about this. And we are a very multitasking agenda, always doing everything. I'm guilty of it as well. We're doing school, work, childcare, elder care, housework, just every possible thing, and driving our kids to 5 or 6 different sports because we don't want to get them stuck on one. But on the other hand, how are we going to have any time for ourselves? By the time our time for fitness is done, we've got to go to bed, we're too tired, we've got to do it again. So it's not working out in terms of our timing. And one of the things I think we're finding with our programming is that girls want to have fun. So we're kind of over-scheduling, but we want them to be perfect. We want them to be the most competitive teams. We want them to stream early. We want the best of them. We want them to take, music and do all of these things at the best possible rate. But I think we might be forgetting about the fun factor, which is what we're going to talk about in the next workshop as well. It's just let's get that fun back in there. We also know there's a lot of injuries for young women, and for some reason we have more concussions than guys. So again, what's going on there? And then are we looking after our athletes, our female athletes around the concussions, and they're taking the time to recover properly? So again, let's think about the fun and how we can add that into the program that we're doing. And we know the reasons, the benefits, of course, are well known. If we play physical activity and regularly train, engage in organized sport, the benefits are huge. They're great for kids, youth, and throughout the lifespan. Physical, mental, emotional health benefits, work ethic, improves our performance in school as well. Leadership, perseverance, dedication. I love that girl's lips first. And we know that we don't have to be using organized sport or even high performance sport isn't required to achieve these benefits. So we need to be participating in quality physical activity sporting experiences to lead to social cohesion, strong, confident, resilient girls and young women. Girls' involvement in physical activity is positively linked to high self-body image, which is everything, really. The stats here, as you can see, despite all the evidence pointing to the benefits of involvement, the trend is troubling. You can see for the last 20 years we've been going down for guys as well, but more so for the women. You can see the women are in the dark blue panels, and the guys are in the light blue. We also know that most girls and women will be more tempted to join the sport if they see others involved, and especially other females involved, also their moms. If they see their moms involved, this is really key for them. We're not seeing a lot of equity in our leadership positions as well, and this is troubling to me as well. It's something we need to think about, and how can we change? For all the lifelong benefits we just talked about, and also involving girls and women in quality sport experiences at all levels, is beneficial for them as participants. but also for their teams, their communities, their current or future workplaces, and in terms of role modeling, which we know is key as well, for the girls around them. We need to decrease this gender gap. We need to do it together. Let's watch another video. Maybe I'll need my my light master in the back there to...
Have you ever been told because you're a girl that you should not do something?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
All the time. It's a constant.
People think that girls are supposed to be all happy and la-di-da, you know?
It'd be kind of traditional, like, don't do something too challenging.
I can't really, like, rescue anybody. Like, it's always, like, the boys to rescue the girls.
I want you to go grab one of those boxes over there. This represents your limitations. So I'd like you to write on each one of the things that you said.
I started holding back and not trying things out as much, and just it limited who I was.
I quit trumpet. I quit basketball. I quit wrestling. I told myself that I should stop if I'm not good.
And did you quit?
For a week.
And then what happened?
I proved them wrong by trying harder to get better.
I tried to behave what other people want me to behave, and then I found that was horrible. So I said, okay, no more.
What do you want to do with that box?
I really want to break this box, or maybe explode it.
Chicken?
Go for it.
Wait, are you serious? I think that you need to keep going, whatever you want to do, and do anything you want. You conquer any fear you can, and just live your dream and do whatever you want to do. And that's why I love the word on self. We're going to begin the conversations about key issues about participation of girls and women in recreation, physical activity, and sport. In particular, the UConn, we want to provide a range of practical tips. So we've got some cause tips, and the resource is rich, full of ideas, just jam-packed, and promising practices, as well as to facilitate. We want to be able to get pull from your experiences as well within the group to help support action on some key issues. We're going to prioritize some actions. Good luck for the UConn by the end of tomorrow as well. And I want to connect you to with as many resources possible from CAUSE and our partners. And the three key issues we're going to talk about, there are many as you can imagine, but these are the three we think will resonate the best with the group. Physical literacy and skill competence, female-friendly environments and role models in leadership. So I'm going to shift. Okay, now I'm going to zip to my panel. Switching gears here. So now what we've got a series of questions, and I'm going to ask the first question, and then we'll start here with Moira, and we'll go across all three with the same first question, and then we'll start with the second question. Okay. Seems pretty easy. There might be something weird coming up from behind here, though. I don't know. Okay. Okay, so, one, who or what inspired you to be active or to choose your recreation, sport, or physical activity here in the UConn? What's the best thing about being involved, and how has being involved in this activity helped you personally? Well, thanks, Jennifer, and thanks, everyone, for coming this evening. When I was a kid, I was the one at the top of the monkey bars. I was the youngest of five, so I was competing with all of them. I was the one at the top of the monkey bars, but I did mature early, so my competition mind went somewhere else, and I ended up having a baby at 16. Some of you may know her name is Jeannie Lassen. So one of the things said that what you said earlier about people watch their moms be involved in sport, well, because I had a daughter so young, I couldn't really afford sport. So it was me watching her. So it wasn't daughter watching mom, it was mom watching daughter be involved. So I got involved in the sport of weightlifting for her, and I became a coach and a technical official and an elected official. And I did try the sport because I had been the coach and the team leader and everything. And so I thought I'd better give it a whirl. So at 35, I actually tried the Olympic lifts, and it was lots of fun, really felt really powerful. That didn't last long, but of course, I was already a master. but now she has hoodwinked me, strong-armed me into playing hockey. So at the age of 55, I tied up my own skates. I bought them, nobody else owned them before me. So again, last kid of five, I always got the really shitty skates. So now I'm on a hockey team. And ironically, I'm missing a game to be here tonight. So the reason I stay involved in sport is the human connection, for sure, top of the list. Opportunity, of course, because there's certainly lots of that if you're willing to work hard. The confidence it gives you, whether on or off the playing field, in the boardroom, in difficult life situations, it gives you confidence. It gives you strength, not just physical, but emotional and spiritual strength. And it provides self-worth. So that's why I do what I do.
Good start. Okay. There's no competition up here. Can't fight it. Okay. I wrote mine down. Actually, thinking back to it, about it's interesting to listen to all the information and statistics, and just be like, oh, I'm a statistic. is that, you know, like my sport inspiration started from exactly that, watching parents play and have fun, and it was, you know, beer league baseball and room ball, which is like, you know, obviously now I know that it's different. As a kid, it, you know, it just looked fun. It was sweaty, they're having a good time, and it was social. It was a way to have a good time and connect with people, and I started to really latch on to that and want to be a part of that again. Youngest of three, always competing, always wanting to keep up. You know, but I started to realize more and more that I felt different when I was being active, and not just physically. You know, I started to notice the difference, and there was lots of crying and frustration all along the way. Definitely, it was never always easy. But once I was a teenager, I figured out that I was an athlete. I didn't know what that meant, though, like, for my life. I just knew that was a thing for me. That's where I belonged. But even within that, talking about body image and all of that stuff, you know, in a small community, and then we'll get to this part too later, but in a small community, being an athlete is one thing, but being an intense athlete is another thing, and being a woman, like a young girl who's strong and wanting to be strong, sometimes wasn't always something cool. You know, wasn't super supported all the time. Mm-hmm. And so, but you know, it was my coaches, it was my parents, you know, that support that made me feel okay about being that person anyways. Like, you know, and, you know, so I kept going with that. And now sport is still a part of my life, and I want to give that back to the athletes that I work with and my children. And I absolutely believe in being a good role model for them and the athletes that I work with. And even the clients that I work with that are seniors that have chronic conditions, you know, it's not about being perfect. It's about coming out and doing your best and living the best possible life you can. And sport, you know, again, like I said in for the introduction, is that sport has made me confident. I love the feeling of what it feels like when I try something new and maybe it doesn't go right, but you figure it out and you master your body and you, you know, get into that. And I do love competition. I love it when somebody wants to, you know, it's just simple as wanting to play cards and knowing you, you know, yeah, let's do this. You know, I love that feeling and I love that I know that I can enter any situation and just tackle it. Like, I'm not scared of that. And that's what sport and physical activity has done for me. So.
I'm just going to do a whole bunch of wordplay off what they said already. So I think we have a common denominator because I'm the youngest of four. So maybe that's kind of what there's something going on. So youngest of four, I watched what they did and I was like, I want to be better than all of you. So that's kind of where my drive started from. But I have to say, I think it was the siblings that started the competitive drive, but it was my parents for sure that I watched them get involved in the sport that we all got involved in, and it made me want to keep doing it because they loved being there too. So it kind of was a big positive feedback in our family. So I didn't pick my sport, my siblings did, but somehow I ended up loving it. So I am very appreciative to them for sure for that. You know, the best thing about being in sports is, like we mentioned already, the opportunity that it brings. The travel opportunities, being a part, I'm going to say this a few times, being a part of something that's bigger than yourself, that's one of the best feelings that you can have as an athlete. You go in there and you become an athlete, and it is about you, and it's about, you know, that intense feeling, that drive that you get, and you feel like you're unstoppable and you have no limits. But then you have a moment where you realize that you could be part of something bigger than yourself, and to see the friendships that you grow. Like, some of my best friends are across the world because those are the people that I met throughout my opportunities of swimming, and it definitely has carried me through my life. And I think that's the reason why sport has made me what I am today. I definitely am someone who has a lot of drive. Everything I do, I'm just like, I want to get it done. But I know that you have to work really hard to get things done. It just isn't handed to you. And I think that's what sports and just activity really helps teach young girls and boys and everyone alike. It teaches that work ethic and knowing that things aren't just handed to you. You have to put in the work to get it done, and you're grateful for it at the end of the day. And that's something that I take kind of every day. From my life, which is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, second question.
Why do you think the involvement in recreation, sport, or physical activity are important for girls and young women, especially here in the Yukon? And let's start with Melissa.
I just want to highlight what you Marilyn just mentioned, is that it's about putting in work, not just time, and I think that's something that has changed in athletes a lot in the last little while. It's not just about the hours that you put in, you have to make them good hours. Going back to the question, I think obviously we've highlighted it over everything that we said. It's like recreation, sport, physical activity where you're moving your body and control. I mean, again, it's just that I can do that sensation. And again, it's confidence. It's about teaching, commitment, teaching commitment to hard work. And I also think one thing that is really good about it is, and it goes along with what you're saying, is that it's like it's a community. Sometimes you don't fit as a kid or as an athlete or as a person, you might not have your community, but, you know, if you're in the gym, there's a community there. If you're in a team, there's a community there. Like, that, those are your people, you know? And give you a place to belong and learn and share and all of those things. So I just think it allows people to have positive and inspiring community to belong to.
For me, it's all the parts I mentioned before. I believe it's the human connection, and that's the community piece that both of you had mentioned. Mm-hmm. Opportunity, if you care to take it and if you work hard. Confidence, again, strength, self-worth. and how to be competitive in a healthy way. So, you know, not to drink the most beers at the party or smoke the most weed or hit on the most guys or girls or whatever. So it's competition in a healthy way. So, and that's what sport teaches you. Mm-hmm. One of the things most in particular here in the Yukon is that we have to deal with darkness a lot, and with that darkness can come a darkness in your mind and your heart as well. The long winters, remote and isolated. A lot of our families live far away. You can't afford to travel to go see them. We don't have what the people down south have, and of course this was much worse back in the day. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, there's a competition of seeing on social media what the others in the southern part of Canada have, and we don't have that. So it's important to grasp what we do have, and we have a beautiful environment outside. There's also sports that we can do outside, and we have some great facilities, not just here in Whitehorse, but all over the Yukon.
Mm-hmm. I guess I had a lot of fun thinking about this question earlier on before coming here, and I think we heard a lot of it in the presentation earlier, but I kind of broke down why involvement for girls is so important, and biological, psychological, and social. Biological, it helps girls, anyone, increase in their growth and their physical fitness, you know, they're healthy, and that's extremely important. Psychological, it improves emotional health, it stimulates mental function. We see girls and people in sport increasing in school as well, decreases stress and anxiety. And social, you know, it increases your self-esteem, your self-worth, your confidence, and the list is endless, really. So all those things alone are so important to get everyone involved in sport, really. What I think is so important here, just to kind of... here in the Yukon, I think I can speak to this with my own experience, being born and raised here in sport. You have a very quick option to make as you're growing up on what kind of recreation that you want to be doing. So, especially in a small town, you can either be hanging out in the bush parties, or maybe you can be spending your time going to bed early to get to the pool early the next morning, and you're kind of mad at your parents because you're like, maybe I want to go hang out with my friends who are all in the bush party, but looking back at it, it's one of the better decisions out there. And at the end of the day, your kids and your young kids make the decision to go to practice in the morning because they could go out and make those other choices, but when they're involved in sport, they want to make those good ones, I think. No matter how much of a fight they give their parents at the time. But yeah, I think it's really important, and it's so important to have a positive community for especially our young kids and girls growing up, to make sure that they have that support group and they are feeling like they have friends and positive role models around them so they can make those good choices. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay, what are some of your barriers that you had to overcome to become involved in sports or physical activity, and especially here in the Yukon? And what do you think Yukon has done well to remove some of these barriers? What can they still improve on? Share any ideas or strategies that you might have to make kind of positive change and inspire action. And we'll sit with you again, Mara. Okay.
I didn't grow up in the Yukon. I grew up in Ontario in a place called Burlington, so it's a sort of bedroom city to Toronto. And we had, as far as I knew, there was no barriers because my parents and all my siblings, we ran and we played and we, you know, were at the top of the monkey bars. But of course there was. Simply because I was a girl, I just didn't know because I was insulated by my strong family around me. Some of the things here that we have in the Yukon is great funding streams. starting off with the Kids Rec Fund. It's an amazing, it makes me emotional every time I talk about it, but it's an amazing program, and Tracy's with Sport Yukon, and it comes out of there. It's really amazing. It helps a lot of people that can't afford to perhaps participate in mainstream sport, and as well as bikes and stuff, is that still a thing? So they're physically active. They might not belong to a club sport because they just don't have the infrastructure for everyone to be involved in the team sport. And then the levels that I think are like the Polar Games here in Whitehorse is an awesome experience for the young kids in five and six, I believe, or just grade six now.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's an amazing legacy from a long-term counselor, Dave Stockdale. The Arctic Winter Games, of course, is a bit dear to my heart at the moment because I've just moved back to be the general manager of 2020. Western Canada Summer Games, and we have all these opportunities because of where we are placed in the country. Canada Winter Games, Canada Summer Games, and then, you know, the World Your Oyster after that. Some of the things that that would help here is that we would have more competitions up here.
Mm-hmm.
So our athletes would have less travel because they go in tired all the time. They would also be in a power position because they're on their home turf, and nothing feels better than that. I think we need to start providing support to new Canadians. Not everybody. I've been gone from the Yukon for 10 years, and while the demographics have really changed in Whitehorse, for the better, of course, but some of those new Canadians might not have any connection to ice hockey, and they have more connection to the sport of wrestling or whatever. So what making those available to them, also for Muslim women to be able to participate in a girls-only environment, is very important. Also, not to be like a Zumba snob, because what I mean by that, I used to be a total Zumba snob until I did it in the UK, and it was so much fun. And you know, because usually you only dance when you go to the bar and or weddings, and what does that mean? You've had one or two wines. And so, yeah, Zumba, you can actually dance, and you haven't had any enhancement. And some people that's what they do. I mean, that's their physical release and physical activity, and it's fantastic. And so I took that lesson that I learned in Glasgow down to Samoa, which is an island in the Pacific where I lived for a year, and they have a third gender there, the Papamini, which are biological boys who are raised as girls, and wow, can they do Zumba? Quite amazing. So don't be a Zumba snob.
Okay, Brandon. I have to agree with a lot that you said there, Maria. I think that, honestly, there were no barriers when it came to, you know, you just wanted to go outside and be active. You just went outside and did it when you're younger. So I felt like there were no barriers to being active, especially here in Yukon. So as soon as you kind of like picked a sport, that's when the barriers came up. So again, I can only speak to my own experience because unfortunately for me, I only picked one sport. I think if I went back, I would have done differently. But for myself, I only had one sport. And for me, it's exactly what you said, more competitions to come up here. Because to go from Whitehorse, and all my competitions, maybe were Montreal or something, that's a lot of money for, especially like my parents, and bless them because they were so supportive to things that myself and my siblings were doing. But that is a huge barrier, is the cost. And I see that all around with a lot of kids being like, well, how often do we have to travel? Because they just can't do that. So that's one of the biggest ones, just for location. So that's probably my biggest idea that we could do a little bit better is bring more competitions up here. Or what could we do to reduce costs for clubs where we could get more people to come into clubs that maybe potentially can't afford it. But I do have to agree, some of the things that we do well, Yukon government, Sport Yukon,
we have a lot of funding that we can offer for our kids, but you just need to educate people that it's out there. That's one of the things that we could do a little bit better. And I'm laughing at the Polar Games thing because that was something I lived my life, and that was one of the best times when I was in grade 5 or 6 at the time. But yeah, those resources, we are spoiled up here for sure. We just need to educate our families and our athletes about it more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, again, it's the same idea, and I had said this when I first saw this question, was that I think asking people like us who are up here who have had long a lifetime of sport and activity, and it's a part of our being, about barriers, I think we'll struggle to really see them. I think the people that you need to ask are people who aren't in sport. They're not in the activities. They stop coming. We don't send them surveys and evaluations. That's where the answer lies, is with those people. And I strongly urge you to try to pursue those people and to say, what happened? Like, is there any way I can help? Like, you know, that's where we can get those answers. I also think, too, that I totally agree, like, in regards to sport. Sport Yukon does an excellent job. There's really unique experiences that the Yukon athletes get. But in regards to not being an athlete, there's not as much recreational programming, as far as I know. And that's like, you know, intramurals. I kind of made a comment not too long ago. I laughed because we had no middle school, right? We all went through that. But you go from being in elementary and having playgrounds and recess to high school, and there's no playground, it's like you're not allowed to play anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not okay anymore. And I think that that's something that we also need to think of. Obviously, we can't change the fact that we don't know school. That's fine. But, you know, what can we do to create an environment where play is still strongly encouraged? Physical activity breaks like that are within the school system. And again, like, we have to have, like, intramurals and opportunities for multi-sport registrations for kids that don't plan on being a competitive athlete. They just want to play. They like sports. They don't want to go traveling. But they want to have a good environment to go to consistently and be surrounded by people that also want to do that, a safe place to go regularly. And I don't know. I mean, again, my kids are young. I'm not to that point yet, but I also get frustrated already that I have to choose sports, that there's not, like, one program I can sign them up for where they get to try them all. Mm-hmm. You know, like, mm-hmm. that's already frustrating for me as a parent. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what kind of comes as things go on. But I think the recreation area is where we're struggling. Like, in regards to kids and youth, is an opportunity to play and have fun, mm-hmm. but in a structured way.
Thank you. Really interesting. Recreation and sport programs are struggling with low participation and retention of girls and young women. The dropout rate is even more pronounced in the rural and remote communities than it is here in Whitehorse. What do you think? Why do you think girls are dropping out of recreation or sport programs? And what do you think we can do as a collective government, recreation, sport groups, physical activity, do to invest and keep them in the game? Let's start with Bronwyn.
I think that I thought of a long list of reasons why girls might be dropping out, and we spoke to a lot of them already in the presentation, but
okay.
Social stigma. You know, we mentioned it before, in the small town, the guys didn't like the girl that was really athletic. You know, they don't want to date the girl that's more muscular than them, right? So
mm-hmm.
that really, especially with girls when they're younger, they want to be appealing to the guys because dating is a thing that happens when you're in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cost. The cost of sports. Are they available? Transportation. Do you have the access to get to the sports? What kind of opportunities do you have? Like we mentioned, is it just sports, or do you have to be in sports, or is there other opportunities around town where there might just be a drop-in or Zumba or something, anything?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of access do we have? And a big one, I think, is actually the lack of a positive role model. You know, and we'll talk about it a little bit more. The girls don't have a lot of girl role models in sports right now,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, sometimes we see parents not encouraging them to get involved with more sports, or they're just kind of like, yeah, you go do your thing, not getting as involved in a positive way, obviously not being overbearing their sport, but being appropriate, getting involved with their children's sport. What can we do? I think we can just explore some of the trends, especially here in Whitehorse. What are the common trends? Is it a lack of transportation? Are people not coming, can't get to sports because they can't get there after school? Is there a way that we can try to incorporate that or do some carpooling, like easy solutions to, you know, a bigger concept where it's like maybe there is bullying in some sports environments. What could we do there? Could we educate younger girls with respect in sports and environments like that? So long list, but I think that we can tackle it one ship at a time.
Mm-hmm. I was like, nailed it. I just like getting rubbed up. certainly, yeah. definitely. Like, everything you said is completely on it. I think that role models is a huge part. I think, I don't need to reiterate everything you just said, because that's exactly what I was believing as well. I think that the parents are a big part of it, and again, I think the biggest thing that we have to do is have accountability for our providers, for our coaches, for our programs, and evaluations, and not just for the people who have attended and finished. Again, like even the work that I do, I'm like, okay, well, that's nice. Everybody who actually finishes programs with me, they're happy. They stayed. Right? They might have some feedback that's like, oh, make it a little bit better here. But the people who didn't keep coming, those are the ones we need to ask. And I don't think we're doing a good enough job of creating an environment where people, or athletes and parents, can tell us safely without, you know, about the experience that they had and why. Was it great? What areas weren't so great? Was there bullying? You know, like, there has to be a way for them to be able to share things, maybe even anonymously. You know, without that fear of what's going to come back, because we are in a small town, you know, and for parents too, like, they don't want to be that parent, but they also don't want to be the parent that doesn't step up for their child. And so it's like, there's no parents all the time. You know, it's like, well, good for you, parent. Get in there. Right? That's nice. But they're doing some work there, and they're trying to be there for their child. And I totally agree. Like, small towns almost make it even harder for some of these girls, because it's like, God forbid you want to be strong. God forbid you want, you're okay with being sweaty in class. You know, like, so I think it's, again, having to create this environment within the community to allow girls to not be perfect, to be sweaty, to be a little girl sometimes, take risks, fall down, be beat up and bruised, and keep running and playing. And yeah, I think program evaluation and accountability. And even in some of the projects that I've worked with, that's been an area that we don't do necessarily a very good job of. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Well, both of my colleagues up here have mentioned a lot of things that I was going to say, and they're both, like, absolutely correct. The challenge with some of the ideally girl sports, which is no such thing, of course, but people think they're girl sports, gymnastics and figure skating, and they actually rank on perfection, so it's embedded right in what they're doing. You know, they have to be perfect. So that's a challenge. Perhaps we can change the messaging there. Mm-hmm. That's a big project, though. So along the lines that the messaging has to change, and the message, we are always delivering it to the converted. We're, you know, we're all here, and we all know the benefits. And so, like Melissa said, we're not talking to the people that aren't here. Mm-hmm. You know, so what, all these empty seats, why do they not get involved? Why did they leave physical activity? Why did they leave sport? Mm-hmm. I think, I know personally, one of the real reasons that girls drop out, and that was about that puberty piece, so I don't know how we all make it through that whole phase. Mm-hmm. But suddenly there's these bits and pieces of you that are bouncing around, and you're either, like, ashamed because of it, or you're embarrassed by it because people are now suddenly looking at you in a different manner. Mm-hmm.
And in fact, you're feeling much different too. So, yeah, but there's obviously nothing we can do about that at all, other than not commenting on body.
The UConn government for any
no funding there.
No funding in the area.
So don't comment on the bodies of young girls. Just comment on what they're able to do with their body, which is their strength or power or flexibility or just standing tall and proud. Don't comment on the appearance.
Great.
Can we add one more thing back? Sorry.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Sure. Yeah.
Just quickly again, like there is a program like feeding off of that. Our unique polar games is that Alberta, the Alberta Healthy Living Program runs a Go Girl initiative, and they also have a Rowdy Boy, which is an there's already an issue, but there's Rowdy Boy and Go Girl, and again, it's a one-day event where these kids just get an opportunity within school to go and just try all these things that they probably would never have tried, like Zumba and dance and all these things, and you know, I think that those are really cool things, and youth clubs or safe girl programming that is about just like being active and being confident in some of those things, and creating an environment that they have to go to regularly. So that's a cool program we should kind of look into.
That's based on this on the move model, so yeah. I've got this resource you can share later.
Okay, is that it?
Yeah, that's good. Good little summary there. Okay, what I'm thinking is we'll do one more question. It's just a little bit different just because of the power panel I have here and their assets that they have. I was hoping to talk a little bit about what they're thinking about the coaching. So what do you think? We still have very low rates of women in coaching and officiating. And also, yeah, in the UConn, what steps do you think we can improve to make this a better opportunity for women?
Now you're talking my language. So coaching and officiating and even being elected official, it's about power and control, and those positions all have it. And so they're not going to be given up lightly. So there's a big fight we have to do to get it there. We need to, one of your ads up there said rewrite the rules, which I actually did from when I was on the International Weightlifting Federation Executive Board and Technical Committee. We implemented that there had to be 50% women. We put it in black and white, 50% women, technical officials. It has to be targeted. Approach. You have to get people, former athletes, out to be to coach, support them in that, as well as technical officials. So it's one of the last bastions of sports that's basically extremely male dominated across the majority of sports, 99.9%, I would suggest. It is about, and Alain can support this from, he's a different type of coach because he is a real human being, but there are some in the sector out there that it's about selling themselves, and they're very, very good at it, and perhaps we don't. I mean, there was a statistic that women only apply for a job when they're 100%, so they've got every skill set. With guys, it's 60%. There's some, I'm talking about the high level of sport, international sport, there's definitely breaking of rules and cheating aspects that perhaps certain types of individuals, including women, don't feel comfortable with doing that, because we do tend to, I'm generalizing, of course, and generalizations come from somewhere, we tend to like a rule. And of course, sports full of them, so we fit in. But at the same time, there's things in sport that people cheat the rules. So we need mandatory quotas, and I do get into a lot of arguments with people about this because they don't believe in quotas. However, it's not going to happen organically. It just won't happen because of the power and control positions those coaching and officiating are. So we need to have quotas in this environment.
Great, thanks.
Moira did actually send me a picture, but it didn't get on my sticker. Sorry about that. But I will share it with the workshop people tomorrow. So for that. Okay, Melissa.
Mm-hmm. This one is actually a little bit of a soft spot for me because I've been coaching since I was 18, pretty much, still playing, competing, coaching, studying, doing all that. But now, later on in my life, and I have children, small children, two of them, and I have a job, and I have, you know, my personal own, like, you know, athletic, like, things that I'm trying to accomplish still. You know, it gets hard, I think, for women trying to raise families, trying to volunteering a ton of hours, you know, with sometimes really limited support. And I think that's a big factor for it. It's just, you know, that's, I think, what is really impacting a lot of women is that some of the women that I've met in my coaching career that are still coaching, a good majority of them do not have families. And that's a huge sacrifice to make. And even if you do have a family, you're sacrificing time from them to go and give back to your community and give back to these athletes and give back to these youth and to your community. And I think that ends up being a choice that people have to make. And I don't judge people for not choosing to do it because I totally get how hard it is. I have the same argument with myself every year. Mm-hmm. And somehow I sign up for more. But that's because I know what it means to me, and I know what it means to the athletes that I work with. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know what the answer is in regards to that. I think it's unfortunate that even in Canada, there's not more paid coaching positions, more paid opportunities for people who really care about this. But unfortunately, we've got to pay bills, we've got to have families, and there's just sometimes not enough hours in the day for you to be able to do all of that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think as much as, you know, our pay and Sport Econ tries to have initiatives and funds, sometimes that's not quite enough for me to put in that much more time, personally. And it's, yeah, it's definitely really hard. And that's kind of where I see women in coaching right now. I think it's a battle. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah, I definitely agree with both of you guys. It's funny, we have coaching where it is either an unpaid position, and it's exactly that. It's a time issue. We have a lot of women that are trying to support their families, or they have another job. So it comes down to that extra commitment, and it becomes very difficult when you are juggling your own family on top of that. And then we have the power struggle when we do have coaching positions that are paid. So I think it really is a battle of both. I have no statistics to back this up, but just the thought that dropout rate for women is just extraordinarily higher than males, and I have to think that having males go to a larger longevity in their sport is part of the reason why they're also coaching at the end of it more than girls. The girls are ending their career or their time if it's sooner, and they're also just leaving behind that passion and the job that they want to put forward to it. Again, I can't support that with any statistics whatsoever. That's my own perception kind of that. And it is unfortunate, and it's frustrating, you know, being coach myself and just getting new into just being a coach now. And it's a no-brainer for me, and it's really great, and I love it. I think I said to a couple people before this, actually, I just started coaching part-time last year, and they asked me this beginning of the season, did you want to coach more? And before I even could think about it, I said, yes. And like, I knew that I wanted to do it because I loved it so much, and I was surprised so much that I loved it. But I also am young and have the free time where I know that probably will change, right? So I don't know what exactly the answer is and why we don't have many women in there right now. Specifically, I think there's a number of things. But I think one thing we should do to try to increase it is doing some coaching development opportunities as possible. I think that in the Yukon specifically, we do have courses. We have officiating, we have reffing, stuff that happens, but we don't offer it very frequently. And that is because we don't have that many people here. But you know, what if we could offer it a little more frequently or when? Because you offer it one time and a whole bunch of people can't come, and then that's just kind of, then that's it. So then you have to wait a whole another year maybe. So
what can you do to try to get some funding in there, or to see, make polls, when would people be able to do this so we could get more people in, and maybe that would increase it a little bit, but small steps.
A couple of little stories, and then we're going to open up to Q&A.
I was officiating at the 2008 Beijing Games, and I was officiating, I was the last, as technical controller, so I was the last official to see the athlete go on the stage, and the coach stands right there. So there was this one really big, burly coach, and he was from Iran, which they don't have women's weightlifting there. So I had, and we're not supposed to really get ourselves on TV, but I took the opportunity to go stand right beside him in my official dress, you know, and because now I'm in a position of power over him, because I can stop him from going on the stage and doing all sorts. So the whole world saw this, and I took advantage of that little moment. A window of opportunity opened, and I went for it. I got in trouble later because I made sure I was on TV, you know, and you're not supposed to. Another time at when I was technical controlling, because it's really a powerful position, there was a female coach from New Zealand, and she was sort of really standing back, being really timid with her athletes. And so I really, literally pushed her at the from the back and said, go out there. They need to see you. They need to hear your voice. Mm-hmm. They need to hear the female coach. And so she did, and she thanked me many years later for me being so, I guess, assertive, maybe not aggressive. I hope not aggressive, but assertive with her as a female.
Mm-hmm. You gave her voice.
Her voice.
Okay.
I didn't know.
So why don't we open it up to the Q&A to the audience? We can grab one of these mics and bring it down, or if you want to. Anybody have some questions? You can turn the lights on there, Mia. Mm-hmm.
Or not.
Yeah.
While we're waiting for that, just speaking more on the other thing is that one thing that we've been discussing too with volleyball, at least I've been discussing to myself, it feels like I'm talking to myself, is about just the opportunity to get some of the young athletes or girls or other people into actually sample coaching, but not have to commit to coaching. So again, it's back to that mentoring program, but sometimes they don't want to sign up for a whole season and this whole like big caboodle. It's like, you know, just come out and help out. You know, maybe they're not in the game anymore, but you can come throw balls or you can come help organize in this thing, but it's drawing them back into a different role that still gives them the community. And again, maybe an opportunity to, I'm kind of good at this. I kind of like this. That's something that I think is helpful to help just not have to be a full commitment. Just come when you can, be flexible. Something else for developing those things.
Great, thank you. Okay, any questions from the audience? It's your chance.
I'm going back to
the discussion about image and body image and perfectionism and stuff, and there seems to me, and this is just my perception from my almost 30 years in the Yukon, is that there's some sports where girls need to look a certain way, they need to act a certain way, their bodies need to look a certain way, and if they don't, we're ending up with things like eating disorders and, you know, some really serious mental health and health issues. So, you know, if the answer is perhaps that we had this wonderful presentation about junior roller girls today, and you know, is it using different sports to change the image of women in sports and then eventually affect change in those sort of more, I won't say traditional sports, but, you know, the other sports where that body image is so important? Or how do we change that?
Mm-hmm.
You want to go?
Yes.
Yeah. I think they have to, women and girls have to be provided an opportunity to play every sport. There, like I said before, there's no such thing as boys' sports and girls' sports. And anytime you hear somebody say, here are figure skates, girl skates, check them on it right away. They're not. They're actually figure skates. It's just constantly getting the message out there. Sometimes you feel like, you know, you're talking to yourself. I believe, sorry, I maybe have gone off track of your question, but in my family, we were never in the, you know, the pretty sports, and so it was weightlifting that that took, you know, my daughter and I places. And but it was funny because watching some of the women from around the world, and they would, you know, before they competed, and Tracy's been to the Olympics and would have seen the people, the women I'm talking about, but they had their all their nails done and their makeup on before they went out and stuff. So it's just a it doesn't matter what sport you are, you want, perhaps people want to be viewed in a certain way. So those people that want to be viewed in a certain way might be attracted to sports that have everything to do with appearance. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that you can't, changing the sport in that way is going to take a long time. So I think the best that we can do at this point is trying to encourage each girl or each athlete that they are worth something, and to increase their confidence in their self-worth, because it's them that have the deep down, you know, we have to try to encourage them to try to support each other and get away from that. That's going to take a long time, but that's, I think, one of the smallest steps and the quickest steps we can do is just try to build them up and know that they're better than that, or to help them get through that if that's something that they're going through.
Yeah. They're better than their score.
I think it goes down to, I mean, the sports are definitely an issue for some of those, like the body image factors, where they're literally being judged on a component of that. And I think creating opportunities for them to sample different sports or more rugged sports is kind of cool, right? And reminding them that it is about what they use their body for and what they can do with their body. It's not about what it looks like. I mean, for me, again, personally, I can, there's endless amounts of times I've been told I'm jacked, and other endless times I was told as a teen girl that I was built like a brick shit house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's like, I think you're trying to say something nice, but not totally sure. You know, and it's a terminology that comes across all the time, and I generally think people mean well. However, that when you're a teen, that does not mean well, doesn't mm-hmm. feel well. And I think even for, as a coach, expressing some of those experiences with athletes or kids you work with is important, because they need to know that, you know, Betty over there, my friend who's a rail, she's insecure about being a rail. You know, Curvy Ann over there, you know, she doesn't like that. I don't like this. You know, like, we all have our things, and it's normal to have those insecurities.
Yeah.
It's just that, again, focus on what you can do and focus on where you want to get. Don't focus on that part.
Yeah.
And I think that's all that we can kind of do. We definitely can't do much about those parts. Like, that's us ingrained.
Mm-hmm.
A good question.
But the roller derby, I think, you know, that's a good start of picking away at breaking down those stereotypes. That was just wonderful today. Any other? Yep. Thanks.
I was wondering, Gerald, how do you encourage girls in a small, remote community? Like, I think we have 4 girls in grade 8 through 12.
Mm-hmm.
How do we encourage girls to be active when we really don't have the capacity for a lot of organized sports, and when we do, we're covering so many grades, and we really can't have just a girls-only grouping.
Mm-hmm.
Like volleyball with 4 girls. What suggestions do you have for us to keep these girls active in their lives when they're not involved in organized sports to the level that kids are seeing in Light Horse?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she got it. She's chomping.
Individual sport.
That's totally true. And staying involved in a lot of sport. And, I mean, when the kids are young here for soccer, they play, both boys and girls play on the same team. So there's no reason that you can't do it. It's
mm-hmm.
just there might be sometimes that the girls feel uncomfortable and don't want to show up to practice that day or come and participate that day.
I think I agree. Like, I mean, I think it's creating an environment where they can play together. I mean, if you think about it, teaching those girls that actually playing with the boys is going to make you better. Like, better than probably other girls that are playing with girls. No offense. But, you know, like, the reality is that they're going to be more challenged athletically. It's making them feel like I can step up to that challenge, right, and embrace that and know that it's going to be a little bit, you know, bumpy along the way. But it's a challenge to be, like, work as best as you can and take it as it is. Individual sports, great. And, again, it's creating an environment about, you know, getting stronger. I just think that that's such a huge thing that's lacking, is that we need to teach these girls that it's okay to be strong and it's okay to step into that arena and with those boys and handle yourself. So I wouldn't shy away from it, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Just keep pushing. I've seen some of those small communities that played in a co-ed in one of the opening tournaments for volleyball, and I was like, yeah, we got it. Guys mm-hmm. and girls played together. This is cool. And they played, you know, and they competed like that, and it was really cool to see. So.
And the sport ultimate, too, is boys and girls mixed. You can start that quite young.
Mm-hmm. I think that's positive feedback. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something really scary when girls are like, the first time that they have to play with the boys, they're like, So encouragement, positive feedback. And I think the boys surprise us sometimes. I feel like I've seen the co-ed volleyball kids, teenagers, and the boys are the most supportive of the girls, too, mm-hmm. right? So we just have to encourage them, and that is the most cohesive amount of teamwork is actually your co-ed ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like I think, yeah, just encouragement and or be creative with them. If there's four girls, be like, hey, what do you guys want to do? Like the world's the sky's the limit. You know, you can make your own running club, you can make your own yoga, like you can do anything. It does not have to be a sport per se, but it's like between you guys. Like, why don't you guys make your own club? So, creatively.
Mm-hmm. And even an opportunity for those boys to sample what the girls are often categorized into, right? Mm-hmm. They can do dance class. The boys have to do dance, too.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, like, give them an opportunity where the girls are going to beat those boys. And that's what it's, you know, level the playing field a little.
Yeah. Another question? Yeah.
Faro is unique in one aspect that our recreation is just strictly men. So I understand absolutely as a father of five and three girls, you guys have completely changed my aspect of how to raise my daughters. So thank you mm-hmm. for that. But how would I encourage our four girls to continuously to be active and do these things that you guys have successfully done. Mm-hmm. You know, do you have any ideas or the word I'm looking for? Encourages tips that mm-hmm. we can have and take home to encourage them to push forward.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take this one. I'm excited. One thing that I teach my kids, I have a group that I'm coaching now. They're between 14 and 16, and they're both girls and boys. And one thing I say to them, I think it's applicable to everyone, is change words, change mindset. So a lot of girls say, I can't do this. And you remind them, like, maybe I'm feeling tired today, but I'm going to try again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, anything that they can say that might be negative, try to flip it in a way. Be like, how else could you say that to me that might be positive? If they, you know, are hesitant to go and hang out with the guys, or they just are like, I don't want to go for a run, I can't do soccer, how can you flip that mindset around being like, well, maybe let's go for a run together and we can see if we can a little bit more tomorrow, and then maybe we can try the end of the week to go play soccer. You know, we don't need to just be like, no, you should go out and do it, but we have to encourage them to get there. It's all about, I think, positive feedback, changing your words, changing your mind.
You are completely right, and I wish you were my coach. really, seriously, just the other day I played hockey for the first time with equipment and everything, and it was
I mean, it was humbling as hell. You know, I fell a lot, and one time I was sitting on the ice going, I don't know how to get out, you know. But so they, you know, a lot of, it's a women's league.
You know how to stop?
No, it was a board.
Not important, apparently.
But I felt like a superstar sometimes, you know, like I had the stance and I was there. I couldn't skate worth a lick, but, you know, and so every game I had a different thing to focus on, and it was really breaking it down. Keep low, keep my legs, you know, bent, mm-hmm. and keep low, and don't be offside. That was my one game, right? The puck was irrelevant to me as a player, but other than being offside. So, yeah, and that I'm doing that every game I have. And by the end of the season, I want to be able to come out of the bench skating instead of stepping onto the ice and then start skating. You know what I mean? Like, I want to go out.
Mm-hmm.
That's my objective for the whole season.
That's wonderful to see.
Yeah. What on who should I get your name from?
It's everyone else. I'm recording. Thank you.
So we have challenges nowadays that when you guys started wasn't as apparent. I mean, yes, boys and stuff like that, but now we're dealing with the internet. And stuff like that, and get our kids, let alone just the girls, off this internet to be active. As a coach, what is one way you would implement no screen while you're coming in to do this?
As a coach,
it's easy because they're coming there to do one purpose. But as in the rec, we want to encourage our kids, girls, boys, to be out there doing something.
Yeah. I think we have to embrace the fact that screen time is huge now, and I think it can be used for advantage. So as a coach, you know, the kids come in. And I said a joke today, I was coaching right before this, my kid was laying on the blue deck and he was on his phone. I'm like, wow, your thumbs must be so activated right now. And he was like, you better believe it. I'm like, too bad you're not sitting with just your thumbs. Like, let's get up and let's get moving. Mm-hmm. And the person was very responsive of that, so that was great, and I'm lucky with that person. But when it comes to screen time, take it to your advantage and be like, why don't you go and look up this cool drill? Or like, I saw this really cool video in soccer or swimming or whatever it is, be like, why don't let's watch it together? Mm-hmm. Or, so for myself, I'm constantly taking my cell phone at practice. I'm the worst coach, but I'm like filming my kids swimming. I stop them and they love it because I'm like, hey, take a look at what you're doing, like your technique right now. Can you tell me what you see? And they love that because they tell me and then they correct themselves. So not trying to just be like, no phones, this is no fun zone. Trying to take phones and use that for education and trying to learn in that way because it makes it more fun. It's not just your standardized, I'm coming to practice to get my butt kicked. It's like, let's make this more interactive and I'm going to learn. So trying to, I mean, fun is the most important thing with young kids especially. So how can we make it the most fun? Doing the thing that they love the most. Look at their cell phone.
I love that answer, actually.
Okay.
Well, please.
Yeah, one more question, and then we're going to wrap her up.
Thanks. This was actually more for Kara. I'm a mom, too, and I think that moms have a great role to play. Like, my kids snowboard. I have a boy and a girl, and our girl's the youngest, and we just kept bringing her to the hill because we wanted her to just see that it's fun and it's safe and we can do it. And we know that that sport is dominated by boys, but we wanted her to ride because we want to travel and ride as a family. So I just think in Farrell, like I've got friends that live there too, and I just think like, oh, what if the moms, like what if the moms and the daughters could do stuff? Mm-hmm. I think that'd be really easy, cheap. And you got a great supply of great moms. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would just encourage you to do something like that.
Great idea. Absolutely. Is there one more question, Bernie? Any question?
We have a unique situation in Old Crow. You will be familiar with it, but it is most northern remote community in Yukon. And in the barrier travel backwards, like, the kids have so much freedom. And they, you know, the parent thing is so huge. I think about it so much. Like, if parents would show up, I'm not saying they have to stay for the whole practice, but if they say we're the ones that tie their kids' pace, the difference it would make for those kids. And I think back to my, like, years of competitive hockey and sport, team sport, and I see these kids, they come and go in the course of a practice. Not even a practice, it's more recreational based. Like, we're not coaches necessarily. But they'll come and go, and I think, like, I can't even imagine having left a practice when I was growing up and thought, like, I was going to be able to come back, like, 20 minutes later. And some of it was like, you know, like, either you're getting dropped off, you don't have a ride away from it, or you just have that discipline and you know it.
Mm-hmm.
That is fostered through sports. But when it's not there to begin with, and there's, like, have you guys had any experience, like, coaching in the communities or doing any of that? Like, have you thought about, like, where do you, like, actually get the kids going in that competitive level? Like, their natural athleticism is so off the charts, but they don't know what it means to try and... You know,
one thing that I tell a lot of my athletes that are, like, wavering, I guess you could say, or sometimes they feel like you're burdening them by, you know, thinking they're awesome. You know, like, you're like, man, that's so much potential, right? And they almost pull back from that. It's like, oh, what? Expectations. But I try to urge them to understand that expectations are a compliment, because otherwise you would expect nothing, because you don't think they're capable of anything. And it's reminding them that those expectations mean that you think that they can do this and that you're there to help them. I would kind of just keep reiterating that that's why you're doing this. It's not because you want, like, you're pressuring them. It's more that, you know, I think you can do this and I'm here to help you. And just keep, I think that messaging has to go wide and far. And unfortunately, if it's not coming from family, it can be really hard. But I think that's an environment that I always create, is that I don't want you to think that these expectations are me trying to be hard on you.
Mm-hmm.
It's trying to me show you that this is the stuff that you're capable of, and this is the stuff that's going to make you come to where you are able to come to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just having that conversation goes a really long way to say, because I've had a few where it's like, I try to put those kids in leadership roles as much as possible. I give them more responsibility about, like, getting the balls to practice, because otherwise your team's not going to have balls. Like, you know, like, I think anytime you're struggling with a kid like that, like, that's generally the approach that I give, is I try to give them support, but I also try to give them responsibility to let them have that ball.
So you said it was recreational skating or hockey or whatever, and so even if they're just coming for 20 minutes and then leaving, at least that's 20 minutes where they're not in a challenging situation at home or competing in different ways. So I would just, you have to change your mindset, you know, sorry. But I remember, so my daughter was an extremely good athlete, really fair, but in your face. One of her first sports was soccer. She played it so well, she was a joy to watch. Then my son, who's 8 years younger than her, could care less about soccer, but he was the first one over to somebody on the field if they fell over, made sure they were back in the game, and then he was, like, you know, la-di-da, picking the grass kind of thing. So I had to change my way of how I watched my kids play sports, because one was just as exciting as the other, because really, any time a kid fell over, he was right there, and that's a beautiful quality in a human being.
Yes, thank you very much. I think we have to wrap it up here. I'm sorry. It's after 9, and I'm cognizant that we're all very tired and had a very long day. But I really, really, really appreciate our power panel and all of you staying here and participating and asking questions right to the bitter end. Thank you so much. Give yourselves a hand.
Thanks, Jennifer. And on behalf of ARPE, Sport and Recreation Branch, and Sport Yukon, I'd like to thank our panelists so much for coming out tonight and sharing your thoughts and your expertise. It's definitely an important topic. I think everyone here agrees with that. So we just have a little token of our appreciation.
Someone for each of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And a nice sporty looking RPE vest for our guest speaker, Jennifer. Okay. Here you go.
Thanks very much.
Have a great evening. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. I really have a good evening.